Okay, let's go ahead and get this rolling. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Inner Protocol's Hot Topic Series. This is the first installment in a new series of X Spaces that we've created that's designed to focus on hot topics primarily in the cosmos world. That's certainly where we're going to start out. I'm not excluding the possibility that we might go broader than that if something else interesting pops up. Basically, what we're trying to do here is we're trying to, you know, improve the content that comes out through the Inner Protocol X Spaces, attract a broader audience, and help, you know, create a more informed population, right? This is the community that we participate in. We should be contributing to that community in a number of ways, and entertaining and educational events are another way that we should be doing that. So without further ado, welcome. This is the first in the series, and the topic today is USDC in the cosmos. I think we can all agree, definitely, that is a hot topic in this space right now. It is in my Twitter feed all the time. I'm joined today by my usual co-host, Fred Radford from DCF. Fred, you want to say hi?
Greetings, everyone. Thanks for having us.
Greetings, sir. Thanks for being here, man. I also have present today Max, the founder of Archway, Eric, the co-founder of AstroVault, and Dean Tribble, CEO of Agoric. Thank you all for coming. We're going to go around the room and do introductions in just a sec, and you can talk about, introduce yourselves and talk about your project. But first things first, those of you who are in the audience, what should you expect today? You should expect a collaborative open discussion about the recent launch of the IST USDC pools on AstroVault last week, and the importance of the role of native USDC in Cosmos in general. So yeah, we are gonna talk some specifically about Inner Protocol, but we're gonna hit broader topics as well. So without further ado, let's go ahead and kick it off. Can we get the guests to introduce themselves and their projects? You wanna start with us, start for us, Max?
Yeah, no problem. And I appreciate the introduction. As you mentioned, my name is Max, or many people know me as CryptoChem. And just one quick thing, I wish I could say this, but I am not a founder of Archway, although I am a core contributor. Obviously one of the early contributors as well. But just wanted to...
Oh man, I'm sorry about that. That's in my notes, I believe.
Don't you worry, I appreciated it. And I wish I could say as a founder, because I do, I'm a big fan of the protocol.
You've been promoted.
As you can imagine, but I lead business development and partnerships for Archway. And I'm part of the Phi Labs team, which is the group, one of the core contributors to the Archway protocol. And Archway is a generalized layer one platform where we're trying to focus on creating a sustainable business model for applications where they can monetize and directly capture the value that they're bringing on chain through the use of their applications.
Excellent. Thanks for that. And apologies for the confusion. Eric, do you want to go next, sir?
I'd be happy to. My name is Eric Weissen. I'm a co-founder of AstroVault. Previously, also worked for Phi Labs, helped with Archway's tokenomics. And AstroVault is the first AMM that actually monetizes its liquidity, and by doing so can offer higher rewards, yield, sustainably incentives for its liquidity provision, whereas that has been an issue lately, really changing the formula of how real yield is viewed. So excited to do more in evolving DeFi there.
Awesome. Thanks for that. And I see we have been joined by Yana from Noble. Please introduce yourself. Say hi to everybody. Great to have you here.
Hey, thank you so much. Also, wow, thanks for getting my name so perfectly correct. Appreciate that. Can everybody hear me?
Yeah, we're all good.
Okay, good, good. All right. Yeah, I'm Yelena. I'm a co-founder and the CEO of Noble. Noble is a generic asset issuance chain purpose-built to help the Cosmos and IVC ecosystem sort of grow. We are bringing native USDC to the ecosystem, And we'll also be supporting other asset issuers in the not so distant future. So yeah, thanks for having me.
Awesome. Thanks for being here. Mr. Tribble, it's over to you, sir.
So I am CEO of Agoric. Agoric is a smart contract platform and built on Cosmos SDK for doing smart contracts in JavaScript. And the first use case on that is the Inter protocol that is a stable, you know, a vault collateral backed stable token with PSMs to high quality stables from the rest of the world like USDC. So that's what we're here for.
Excellent. Thanks for that. And I'm not sure I said this, so forgive me. My name's Rick Shreves, and I'm the president of the Decentralized Cooperation Foundation, DCF. Fred, do you want to kick off the discussion, sir?
Yeah, let's go ahead and get started. This has been a really busy 7 weeks since the launch of Noble on Noble Chain and getting USDC onto Cosmos. We've seen over $1 million in liquidity on some of the exchanges. It's obviously become the most dominant stable token on Osmosis very quickly. And the community has voted to add it as the collateral for the IST PSM. So Inter Protocol now supports swapping between IST and USDC at zero slippage. This is something that's just happened, and the economic committee is in the process of voting up limits. But this is really exciting to be able to swap between IST and USDC. And of course, there's a huge role that's going on with DYDX and the V4 launch that was just announced last week, and USDC will be the native collateral. So lots going on here. So I want to start with Yelena. Tell us a little bit about why people should be so excited about Noble bringing native USDC to Cosmos. And are you kind of surprised on how quickly this uptake has happened?
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible to see. I'm very obsessed with the USDC.cool sort of page, kind of refreshing it every couple of hours. I mean, first of all, I want to emphasize Noble was sort of designed and envisioned very much with core sort of Cosmos sort of principles, you know, both technical and call them philosophical at its core. So having obviously native USDC be proliferated, you know, via IBC, right, showcasing the power of IBC as this really, really incredible sort of permissionless kind of communication protocol is one thing. But really just seeing the uptick, yeah, I'm, you know, not, I wouldn't say surprised, but it's just really amazing to see it happen in real time, because the beauty of Cosmos is this. Is obviously these principles of sovereign interoperability. So you have these, you know, dashboards like map of zones, and every day you see more and more sort of chains sort of establishing IBC connections to Noble and very easily sort of sourcing liquidity from Noble to really help their communities sort of get access and obviously be able to sort of offer really, really interesting products and services. So yeah, I guess on the one hand, I'm maybe like a little surprised, but more than not, I'm just more excited to kind of see all of our kind of our sort of thesis around sort of IBC, sort of app chains proliferating. Obviously, you know, with Celestia launching yesterday, we saw a lot of sort of volume because people were sort of claiming their TIA airdrop. Some were, you know, swapping it for USDC because, you know, for whatever reason, and sort of seeing those sort of behaviors play out in real time is just really, really, really amazing. So once again, Noble is very much purpose-built for this app chain sort of ecosystem. It's very purpose-built for IBC. And again, we just want to show the power of the Cosmos stack, and what better way to do it than bringing, you know, I think $25 billion market cap coin to Cosmos. You know, what better way? So yeah, we're super excited for native USDC and Cosmos, all of the use cases that are proliferating. And yeah, we just want to see the ecosystem grow. So we very much are Cosmos maxis in that way.
Yeah, it great for that. It's I heard Kepler had some issues with the largest volume day they've ever had on there. So let's keep going with Dean. Dean, the community has come in and asked about how does USDC compared to IST, what's the future here? Obviously, IST was launched to be the native stable token for Interchain, but how do you see the launch of USDC kind of impacting IST, and how do they coexist or even help each other?
Oh, yeah. So it's awesome. There are two things. Well, there are several things you want, but sort of two things people want from a stable token, in terms of minting it. Obviously, they want it to be stable. They want it to be worth a dollar. But they want money from the outside world, right? We it's a growing ecosystem. There's lots and lots of money outside that we want to support all of the amazing things that people are building. We want money from the outside world. And, you know, USDC is basically the best mechanism and source for money from the outside world, right? From TradFi, from investors, from people who already have cash in the pocket. They can put cash in a bank account and they can bring money through Noble natively into Cosmos in a way that, because of the architecture of Cosmos, because of IBC, you know, that means I can get USDC on Agoric, you can get it on, you know, Archway and Osmosis and all the other places we want to see money from the outside world. But the other thing we want is we've created assets that are valuable. We've created brand new digital assets in a brand new world, and that's a big part of our mission. And money from the outside world does not unlock that value, right? It's only half of that puzzle or less. And so the IST stable token has both the ability to absorb money from the outside world through these robust mechanisms like USDC, and unlock using everyone recognizes it, so I'll use it, MakerDAO style vaults for the capital assets like Atom, like Staked Atom, like Build, like Osmo, like everything else, right, that we have created in this ecosystem. And so for people building the backbone of the economy, you want refined instruments, right? You want, in some sense, by analogy, USDC is the hard money, right? It's the cashier's check where when I get it, I know that there's cash sitting somewhere that this will be paid, right? Other money that we use is very reliable, but it's not what people in finance think of as hard money. USDC is as close as we get to hard money. But you want other kinds of money. You want other sources of money. You want to be able to mint it as home loans. You want to be able to mint it against assets. Well, in crypto, you want to be able to mint it against the digital assets. And so if you're doing DeFi, you want to differentiate at a fine grained all of these sources. I need, that's why DX is using, or DYDX is using USDC. They want to settle their things in the hard money. But if you're a consumer, if you're buying things, if you're participating, and there's lots of sources of wealth. I'm leveraging some of them. I made that decision already, but now I want to use a stable token that just works. It could be minted in all the different ways we might mint. We might be able to capture value into a stable denomination. That's what IST does. And so it lets consumers, it lets applications just get paid in a single stable that can be backed by, as I said, dollars in a bank account through USDC and others, or capital assets like Staked Atom and so forth. And that synergy is really nice, right? You really want both those things in your economy. And those are, almost literally two halves of the same coin in terms of growing a rich economy as we head into a growing market here.
Great. Let's go over to Eric real quick and ask. Last week, the Inner Protocol launched IST and native USDC on AstroVault. So we now have IST on AstroVault. From the point of view of a DEX, talk to us about how you see native stable tokens versus the bridged versions, and why you're looking to make native USDC and IST the core stable pairs on your platform versus using the XLR bridged versions.
Yeah, thank you. And Dean, love the idea of like hard money versus fast money. First off, why to have stable pairs? I think people just assume that, oh yeah, DEXs should have stable pairs. Again, we're taking a very unique business approach to how we operate AMMs, which hasn't really been done before somehow. And in doing so, like my background's in casinos, where almost everything casinos offer operated at a loss. Valet, hotels, restaurants, even the poker room, like almost every service they offer is run at a loss, so that they can facilitate people into where they earn their revenue, which is the table games and the slot machines. We're going to operate similarly in that we're not going to make a bunch of money on this IST-USDC pool, but by offering this service, it's going to make AstroVault so much better usable for every for all the pools we are making money from. We already have like 55K in protocol-owned liquidity, haven't launched our token yet, close to $10,000 towards buying back our token that hasn't even launched yet, from these like being the liquidity hub for tokens like Jackal and Decenter and whatnot. So we need to be able to offer these premier services. We need people to be able to go from their hard money to their fast money, or their fast money back to their hard money through this with a net trade fee of about zero, because we're, again, incentivizing our traders directly. So we want to offer services to our customers so that our customers feel comfortable on us, so that we make money as a decentralized business. And we want more and more and more businesses to decentralize, specifically in the Cosmos tech stack. We're working with lots of brick and mortars to do that at this time right now. And as they do that, we're going to need better pay rails. We're going to need people who are going to be able to be liaisons who can like mint USDC Noble, not spend $60 to come across, which we're really grateful for the service that Axelar has offered as a bridge gap. But Noble is going to be the way forward of bringing money into the Cosmos. And then once they are able to bring it in, they're going to have to be able to move it around really, really easily to lots of different places when you have like provable collateralization going on here in DeFi. So it really makes sense to have USDC be the way in and out through Noble, where it's cheapest and safest, and then have IST move things around. And so we see that working seamlessly. Already the Arch, like the Arch USDC Axel pair switched to the Arch with IST. We're really hoping to get more IST-backed pools, as well as making sure we keep liquid that IST-USDC pool, where, again, the net trade fee is about zero, so that people can go in and out seamlessly.
That's great and very exciting. Great developments in DeFi and decentralization. So for Dean, from the point of view of partnerships, what do relationships like the ones we have here, AstroVault, Noble, Archway, and InterProtocol mean for InterProtocol's growth and viability?
Sure. So the first is, I mean, in some sense, the first thing you want for a stable token is pervasive availability, right? Obviously, one of the nice things about IBC is, in some sense, it doesn't take much to be able to be brought over to another chain. But having partnerships where we get, you know, IST in pools and IST cooperating with on other chains actually in active use means that people there know it's available. So it increases visibility of IST. It increases availability of IST for users. As Eric was just talking about, it increases utility for our holders, right? You know, with these novel partners and novel ideas. So, you know, monetizing liquidity, sustainable incentives for having IST available and ready to play as people roll out new applications is just huge. Obviously, you know, with USDC, you know, there's this partnership sort of on both sides in the rest of the world where, you know, DAI relies heavily on USDC and DAI generates a lot of demand for USDC. IST, we certainly want and expect to get the same kind of synergy as the IST and in general the Cosmos ecosystem grows into the next round of economy. So there's, you know, increased visibility, the network effects with partners, right? As we partner with all these people, it brings in their community into connecting to assets and services on Agoric. It will bring access of their applications and their assets over onto Agoric, where it can be nicely programmed with the number one programming language on the planet, JavaScript. And so, there's sort of this synergy for building this next generation of economy that really starts with partnerships, right? It really starts with all the relations that our partner teams have built, that the partner teams and all the respective platforms reaching out to us have built. An economy is all about that core, you know, Cosmos value of sovereign entities reaching out and establishing growing win-win relationships. And so this is just a huge part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Max, how do you see the state of stablecoins currently on Cosmos? And from Archway's point of view, how do you think your ecosystem might benefit from the growth we're seeing in native assets now, like USDC and IST?
Yeah, I think we're heading in the right direction in terms of the, I guess, environment and how much we have in terms of stablecoin liquidity in Cosmos, but we're in my opinion, at the very beginning of this. I think what Noble's doing is a huge step, and we're already seeing the impact of that. I think I was looking earlier and I saw the total market cap of all stable coins right now is around $125 billion amongst the entire Web3 space. And I think USDT and USDC make up about $110 billion of that. So, I mean, that's somewhere around 90%. And the Cosmos, and this is just the hub as far as I know, but it has around, well, no, this would be the entire Cosmos ecosystem, at least from what's on Osmosis and then as well as USD or from Noble, there's only about 25 million in liquidity. So, you know, we're talking about a fraction of a percent, less than a tenth of a percent of the total stablecoin liquidity is actually in the Cosmos ecosystem, despite Cosmos being a fairly large player in the overall Web3 space. So I think it's a good start. Elaine would have to correct me on this, but I think they have around 13 million of USDC that's been minted on Noble. So about half of the liquidity right now in the Cosmos is from Noble. So they're definitely bringing that next piece of the puzzle, which is a way to safely and securely bring large amounts of liquidity to the ecosystem. I think now we just need to find more ways to attract large liquidity. And that's something that I think Archway needs to do as well to kind of take advantage of this growing kind of, I guess, this growing narrative of stables in the Cosmos. And the way you can do that is providing unique yield opportunities. They give someone a reason to bring over their stables. I know something, for example, like SOM is something that makes a lot of sense that could bring over ETH liquidity. And now we need to find something similar for stables. So we can kind of recreate that idea of, hey, we're offering you something that's either cheaper or provides a higher yield, and therefore this is why you should bring your liquidity here. And that's what we're working to do. And I think potentially utilizing the incentives that you earn from contract interactions on Archway could be a great way to boost those APRs to offer a higher rate on stable pairs than most others can offer. So that'd be one way. But ultimately, I just think we're heading in the right direction with Cosmos in terms of liquidity in stables, but we have a long way to go to catch up with some of the other major players like Arbitrum, Solana, OP, who all have around, let's say, $1 billion on average, despite having market caps in the same range as Atom.
Great. Yelena, you've got some feedback and comments you want to add in here. Jump on in.
Yeah, no, for sure. I just want to talk a little bit about what we've observed in the past few weeks. I have Map of Zones open. So yeah, currently we have about 12 million of liquidity sort of that was issued, you know, by Noble. Just so everybody understands, like a key success metric for us is as much IBC out of USDC as possible. We obviously want Noble to be this sort of gateway for native USDC to all of the, you know, 50 plus Cosmos app chains and ecosystem that, you know, have applications and services that can benefit from this liquidity. But looking just at the past 30 days, in total, we've had almost 15 million or exactly 4.3 million of IBC volume of native USDC. Again, that's just in the last 30 days. And most of that, the overwhelming majority has been IBC out. So that's about 11.2 million. So kind of just to the last point made around sort of kind of liquidity and kind of looking at other ecosystems. We saw this actually within the Terra days for a lot of us that were obviously around that have been around for the past couple of years. So last year and, you know, the year prior, Terra really did actually in many ways kind of help the ecosystem to grow. Obviously with the collapse of UST and Luna, you know, as much as it helped projects, it also in fact severely hurt projects after that collapse. But I think what we saw was liquidity sort of begetting liquidity in some sense. And you had, you know, a really sort of clear sort of kind of overview of kind of all of their sort of kind of users and kind of liquidity coming into Cosmos, really helping all the other ecosystems grow. And so that was always actually something that was a big inspiration for myself and other kind of members of the Noble team. It's just to say that, you know, in many ways, people sort of have a simplistic view of like which kind of ecosystems to focus their attention on, right? So you see sort of the various leaderboards, DeFi Llama, USDC.pool, various dashboards, various analytics, and you see, you know, Solana doing really well, right? You see, you know, Arbitrum and kind of other ecosystems doing really well, and kind of number of like TVL kind of going up across their sort of ecosystems. And honestly, that's just what we want to see in Cosmos. We want, with, you know, DYDXP4, obviously with Osmosis, with many other projects here, you know, with, you know, Lavana on Osmosis has been doing great. Kujira has been doing great, obviously. You know, super excited to see IST take off, you know, obviously all the projects represented here, but the kind of seeing all of that success and sort of be represented in the total kind of like in the whole, I think just will help to sort of incentivize sort of the next, you know, projects to kind of build in Cosmos. And that's just what we want to sort of like see, like at the end of the day. So anyways, native UCC is obviously very key to that. As I mentioned, it is an asset, again, a $25 billion market cap coin at this point in time that has come into the ecosystem that is very much, you know, integrated with, call it like the real world. You can like on and off ramp, you know, very easily. One more thing just to kind of say, also the liquidity that we do have, so currently around 12 million on Noble, that is actually mostly just institutions kind of minting. So with kind of centralized exchange integrations and with CCTP specifically, so Circle's cross-chain transfer protocol, which is, think of it as our native bridge, you'll actually have an opportunity for retail to directly be minting at USDC cross-chain as well. So any, again, as I mentioned, any sort of user in, you know, the Ethereum world, you know, Avalanche, Arbitrum, Optimism, et cetera, they can easily be able, like literally with one click, to just hop over to Osmosis, to wherever it might be, and mint their USDC natively via Noble and use that asset as they would in you know, on Ether or whatever. So like, that's kind of insane. We did not have that in the Terra days, right? UST was actually in some ways very much regulated to kind of Terra itself and kind of caught the IBC world. So that to me is an even bigger unlock. So yeah, just wanted to kind of throw that out there and really excited for that.
No, that's very cool. Thanks for that. And it's actually a perfect segue. I really wanted to shift the conversation and talk about Circle's CCTP, and you just gave me the springboard to do that. You know, a lot of people in the space are excited about the impact this could have, not just for Noble, but also for dApps and zones on Cosmos. Just in case we've got listeners that aren't aware of what CCTP is all about, that stands for Cross-Chain Transfer Protocol. It is a utility from Circle. It is permissionless, it is on-chain, and it allows you to burn native USDC on a source chain and mint native USDC of the same amount on a destination chain. So as you can see, it's a really capital-efficient way to transfer USDC across chains. And it sets the stage for, you know, some unified cross-chain liquidity opportunities, not just across Cosmos, but across the whole of crypto, which is super, super exciting. So I wanted to talk about that for a second, and I want to start with Max on this. Max, this theoretically opens up more opportunities for app chains to secure liquidity from outside of Cosmos. How are you guys thinking about this for Archway?
So I kind of mentioned this a bit earlier, but I think it really just comes down to providing better opportunities in terms of either use cases for the stables or yield. Because really, those are the only two things that are going to drive someone to bring stablecoin liquidity somewhere, is if they feel that it's going to provide some, you know, a safer avenue for them to store it, or it's going to provide them a higher yield to earn from it. So I think that's the biggest piece, is Archway needs to find ways to build apps that will draw liquidity to them, whether that's creating borrow and lend and money markets, whether that's creating, you know, different liquidity pools where people can actually provide their liquidity, but then also incentivizing that liquidity to give them that extra boost to bring it here. The hardest part, I guess, has been the fact that Archway, it doesn't have a lot of liquidity in the ecosystem. So that's probably the biggest piece, is finding people to bring over that liquidity. I think working with Circle and Noble to do that could be a great way to start to kick off the Archway DeFi ecosystem, by just providing enough depth for people to feel comfortable trading and bringing their assets to DEXs like Astroball.
Cool, thanks for that. Dean, you want to take a swing at the same question? How do you see the arrival of CCTP from an agoric point of view, and what might this do to help secure liquidity from outside of Cosmos?
Sure. I mean, obviously, I agree with the things that Max talked about. I'll add two other things, right? You know, I mentioned about, you know, having smart contracts that can automate interesting asynchronous activity over other chains. One of the things that will be critical is enabling it so that CCTP can be invoked by the smart contracts to be able to, in the same way that we can transmit operations to Filecoin or Aave or what have you over various interop bridges, we can reach out and trigger, you know, USDC locally to get moved over to someone's ETH account. And, you know, that whole underlying thesis of Cosmos and the reason why a lot of investors believe now Cosmos is poised to grow well in the next cycle is this, you know, deep integration of interoperability. And so I think that's one of the big things to be able to reach people that are already in crypto but not currently in Cosmos. You know, so we've done things like work to get our secure JavaScript into MetaMask. You've got MetaMask snaps so that if there's a great use case, and there are several great use cases already shown up here, you know, with Archway and AstroVault, of making them accessible to people in the cryptoverse that they don't necessarily know or care exactly which chain it's on, because they're going to go to an application and they want to invoke it. They've already got some other wallet. They want to be able to just use it. And underneath the covers, that should use CCTP to transfer their assets over, buy the thing they want to buy, invest in the lending protocol they want to invest in, you know, talk to the smart contract they want to talk to, you know, all as just a uniform experience of accessing Web3 asset classes rather than, oh, you're on chain X versus chain Y. And so we've got, you know, with CCTP is one of the key tools for that going forward. So I see someone raising their hand here.
Yeah, Max, you want to jump in, and then I've got another question for Eric.
Yeah, I just wanted to quickly comment on something Dean mentioned with the smart contract side of things. So, I mean, first off, I think it'd be where I see this protocol becoming very useful is when you can start to use it from the retail and user side, like Elena had mentioned, because now you're able to get liquidity into an application quickly and cheaply, and that's probably the biggest barrier I face most of the time. Is that if you want to onboard any sort of fiat, you're typically taking on slippage as well as any fees associated with it. And if you're coming from a different ecosystem and have to bridge it, now you're talking about, you know, another substantial fee on top of that, to where it starts to become so inefficient that it's not worth pursuing that transfer. And then therefore that user may not utilize that protocol or even provide liquidity. So that's a huge piece of it. And then the second part I just wanted to mention was, with Archway and the incentives, that's another piece that would be kind of unique to it, is that all the minting and redeeming done via smart contracts would earn. So there's actually potentially a way for either Noble to own those contracts and earn from each interaction additional to their fees, or for the protocol themselves, like AstroVault, to host that contract, the minting contract, and earn from it. So I kind of thought of that as you were speaking on the smart contract side of things.
Cool. Thanks for that. Eric, I've got a question for you as well. But before we go there, we intend to take three or four questions from the crowd after Eric has a word. If you've got questions for any of the panelists today, or you just got something to say, go ahead and add it in the comments to this space. It's much more efficient than trying to pull you up here on stage and dealing with the technical problems. So use the comment thread, post your question there. We'll surface it and get it answered for you. So, Eric. I saw that this week, I think it was this week, you guys launched the Fusion upgrade on AstroVault, which removes stablepool lockups and I believe withdrawal fees. You want to tell us more about what this upgrade means for your users and how it can help bring more stablecoin volume to the platform?
Yes. Unfortunately, it affected every stablepool except for the IST USDC pool at this point.
I didn't say anything about that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, fundamentally, we didn't go out and set out to be a stable swap. That's kind of a byproduct. What we set out to do was reestablish what the business side of AMMs look like, knowing that Uniswap attempted to make Coinbase on chain, took what they thought was the revenue of Coinbase, gave it to liquidity providers, had no revenue, and then launched a token saying, like, crap, we don't have revenue. Somebody buy a token from us. It governs parameters and stuff. What we're saying is, like, one, that didn't make sense, didn't work. They finally monetized and they did it for their team, not the token. But two, that's not all of the revenue Coinbase earns. Like, in their updated model, they charge less for listing proof of stake tokens. They have an entire department of their team focused on listing proof of stake tokens so that they can earn revenue from the liquidity that they host. Most of their Ethereum staked, most of their Atom is staked. they only need to keep enough liquid with which to process withdrawals. We took that model and we put that on chain so that we're now monetizing the liquidity directly while still allowing users to just trade Atom for Arch without knowing what's going on with our applicated security underneath. Now, when we first did this, our initial model of it had these stable pools so that we could use these app-specific staking derivatives and route directly one-to-one for the native assets so that we could process withdrawals without the user noticing. However, then we figured out that we can fully and sustainably and safely either or both trade for the derivative and or mint whatever's remaining. Say we take all of the X asset. But there's still more that needs to happen in a trade if you're going Atom to X Atom, and then we'll mint the rest, and we can do it completely immediately. Now we no longer need to have the X asset in that stable pool for it to work. It can basically work like a super efficient queuing system. So we basically split the way the pool is designed to work in half so that what we consider an optimized or a fully balanced stable pool for a native asset to a derivative will be 100% native asset, 0% derivative. It makes liquidity flow much more efficiently, and it makes us able to also make the arbitrage more profitable. Whereas we actually have arbitrage, while most staking derivative tech protocols require dilatory arbitrage, which we go through in a white paper. So we were really happy to make that much more efficient. What it means for users is that it's just a little bit cheaper. You can process larger trades now, and it should just be more seamless in perpetuity using AstroVault. Nothing really, it's really behind the scenes that everything's taking place, but it should just be easier. For liquidity providers, you have a little bit less control of how you withdraw. At the same time, you can always trade if you need to, and there's no mandatory withdrawal fee. There's no lockup period. You just pull out your liquidity whenever you want to and go trade. We're really against lockups in general. We only have a soft lockup of 10 days where you can bypass it for 1% fee, specifically right now on our hybrid pools and on the stable pool for IST USDC, which we will use for any one-to-one stable pools that are not native asset to derivative. And it's to prevent really niche attack vectors, such as like purposely depositing, withdrawing liquidity up to a point that will then make the fee larger for an X user. It's not like gameable in a way that's profitable, but it's still gameable in a way you could hurt other people, which is, and like, from a tokenomics perspective, you can't just assume that people are going to do what's best for them monetarily. You have to prevent against attack vectors.
Yeah, absolutely right. And congratulations, by the way, and well done. You know, we don't have any questions that have come in yet on the comment thread, and we still have a bit of time left. So I think we have to talk a little bit about DYDX, given the news this last week. Yelena, why do you think this is such an important opportunity for native USDC and the Cosmos Hub and Atom in general? How do you characterize this? How do you look at the arrival of DYDX?
I mean, it's a pretty significant moment, I think, in the history of Cosmos. So the way I look at DYDX, just to sort of ground it in reality. So first of all, they're the sixth largest consumer or user of USDC in all of crypto. So, you know, sixth largest user of, because they used USDC as their only form of collateral on their derivatives exchange in the current moment. They do have plans more longer term for a sort of multi-asset collateral kind of product, but that is not currently available. So in the grand scheme of things, they are a very sort of key stakeholder of the stable coin. I mean, if you just look at sort of their kind of daily, weekly, monthly volume on their exchange, it is very often in you know, billion plus, sometimes daily over a billion, which is really just remarkable. So I look at DYDX in the grand scheme of kind of crypto overall as one of the obviously like most important, I would say, like honestly, like top five, like most important projects in all of crypto, just in terms of their sort of sheer scale, kind of. Yeah, they're just great. So having them kind of come into the Cosmos ecosystem, fully leveraging the stack, you know, having IBC, Noble was the first IBC connection to DYDX a couple of days ago, which we're all very proud of, at Channel Zero. Having that sort of be a reality, like as of this week, is just quite quite historical, and I think we'll see the kind of implications of that for the entire ecosystem in the coming weeks and months. So what are those implications? Sort of what I spoke to earlier, people I think have again, like somewhat simplistic views on like which ecosystems to kind of pay attention to, right? Where's the TVL? Where are the users, right? Where are sort of those blue chip applications? And very soon that's going to be Cosmos. And that's going to be a large, large reason because of DYDX deciding to make this huge bet on the stack. So yeah, I mean, we'll see DYDX, I think, prove the app chain model, prove kind of the kind of performance and the kind of, yeah, of the Cosmos stack. And that'll just be a huge attractive feature for not just users, but also application developers. So yeah, I mean, I can't say good enough things about the team. We've really enjoyed working with them. A large kind of part of Noble's history is definitely DYDX deciding to build V4 in Cosmos, and us sort of coming to the table really early on and saying, hey, we want to be your partners in this journey. We want to sort of support you in, you know, in this one specific way, which is also a very key way, which is how do we get sort of native USDC on your chain in a way that is permissionless, but also, highly interoperable, also, you know, easy from UX perspective, you know, how do we sort of optimize IPC for you guys, but also how do we, how do we sort of like help you guys in this journey? And it's just been a great working relationship. So can't wait for trading to actually be turned on, which will be, I think, in a week or so. And then their front end will sort of launch subsequent to that. And yeah, we'll see a lot of really great activity in the coming weeks. So can't wait for that.
Cool. Thanks for sharing your insights and your thoughts on that. And don't go away. We've got a question, and it's for you. The question goes like this. Are you ready? Noble is a native asset issuance protocol. Can we assume that means you will be looking at other assets you could issue to beyond USDC Circle?
Yeah, absolutely. We, from the day one, we built Noble to be a generic sort of platform for any asset issuer. We very much stand on the shoulders of giants. We leverage something called the Token Factory module, which is the Cosmos SDK module, which the Osmosis team initially developed. And then we added quite a lot of functionality on top of that to really suit an asset issuer like Circle, right? Because they have all these requirements based on how they sort of do minting and burning of USDC. So really, we've built these components to be applicable for any asset issuer coming to the space. We really believe in stablecoins. We really believe in things like treasuries on chain. So we've been having a lot of really exciting conversations with, issuers that are working in the space. Actually, one of them that already is confirmed in public is a team out of Japan. They're working with the Mitsubishi Group, which is one of the largest financial conglomerates in Japan that is actually issuing a yen-backed stablecoin. And Japan itself has really promising regulations with respect to stablecoin issuance. So we'll be supporting that asset. Personally, I'm excited to see Forex markets take off in Cosmos. I think it's like a natural thing to see. But beyond that, having a lot of conversations with other teams as well. Again, things like treasuries on chain, other stablecoins, other fiat stablecoins. We're just here to serve these issuers. We really love sort of bringing people into Cosmos. That's like what, you know, really gets us excited, as nerdy as it is. Like, we just love the stack. We love, you know, any improvements to IBC. We love seeing Tendermint, Comet BFT be optimized to have higher throughput. Like, these are just the things we love to do. So being able to sort of either develop some of those improvements or just like shepherd them to these like larger players is what we just love to do. So yeah, I mean, that's our thesis, and we'll definitely, there's more to come. So yeah, stay tuned.
Yeah, thanks for that. And we're up to the end of our scheduled time. So I'm going to hand it over to Fred Radford. Fred, take us home.
Greetings, everyone. Let's go ahead and have a final question to end it all. So this will go out to everyone. And let's start with Max. So the question is, what do you think stablecoins can and should achieve in the future that isn't being done right now? And let us know what you think, and we'll go around to each person.
Well, I guess maybe not what they can be leveraged for, but what I would like to see is just better on-chain a testing and auditing of the collateral that's backing stablecoins. I know Circle does a great job of that, but I think as we get to more decentralized stablecoins and as we continue to issue more stablecoins, I think it's pertinent that we understand, you know, what collateral is backing these and making sure that we have insight into that. That's one thing I think is kind of missing in the space that everyone would benefit from.
Great. Eric, how about you? Same question. what do you see the future for stable coins?
Similar. Collateralization needs to be understood by liquidity as opposed to by value, kind of like market cap thesis. I strongly believe that's where Terra went wrong. It's not the issue that they were able to collateralize themselves, but more of an issue that they were collateralized by a debt that was assumed by its value rather than how much liquidity was against it. And as we're able to do that, I mean, over-collateralization is always difficult and inefficient. I really do think that IST is doing a good job of it. At the same time, I'm really nervous about long-term reliance on assets such as auto-compounding derivatives, whereas like we've seen here in the last couple of weeks, they can depeg by over 14%. We wrote the math in our white paper, something with a 20% stake in APR should be trading 1.45% underneath the underlying asset peg. So it is difficult, and we need more liquidity in the ecosystem. I think DYDX will do a good job of helping with that, but we need to be careful about the constant push towards concentrated liquidity for a general purpose.
Definitely. Dean, what are your thoughts?
They echo a little bit of what was said. In particular, IST's design is to enable more minting mechanisms. We have lots of ways we're creating value. So what I expect, we're really at the beginning of the stable, the stable token world as we have a much more programmable money in the world. And so the right additional mechanisms can dramatically reduce over collateralization requirements or without, while still having economically sound solvent money system. And so I expect evolution and addition of new mechanisms and evolution of existing mechanisms, including, the addition of other sources like Yelena was talking about of real world assets and off chain assets, and including new sound, digital assets and digital mechanisms to provide backing. In some sense, part of the reason for a programmable money like IST is exactly to be able to roll those up through some really, risk managed sound consolidation, so that as we discover and evolve the economic ecosystem from the user's point of view, just keeps working. It's fine. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Great. And Yelena, let's end with your comments on what stablecoins should achieve in the future that isn't being done now.
Yeah, from my perspective, I'm really just excited about kind of privacy solutions like what Anoma kind of is working towards. So highly compliant sort of protocol solutions to kind of make it such that people do have a level of privacy, right? And something like, you get with cash when they do interact with kind of stable coins on chain. Again, very much in a way that kind of adheres to kind of compliance and kind of regulations. I am also, highly, highly conscious of that. I founded a advocacy association here in Canada to kind of advocate for thoughtful regulations with respect to kind of blockchains. But yeah, what Anoma is doing when it comes to privacy and things like this, really key. So, maybe less so for the asset issuer, but more so for like the applications themselves that kind of are hubs for the asset, and especially those that are working on the privacy side. So yeah, big shout out to Anoma there.
Great. With that, back to you, Rick, and we'll go ahead and close the thing down if we don't have any more questions from the audience.
Yeah, I think it's time. We're a little over right now. It's been a really great discussion. I want to thank all of our speakers today for taking the time to be here with us. I know everybody's super busy and you get a lot of requests to do these things. So thanks for including us on making us, a priority and being here. Please, all of you in the audience, pay attention to this space in the future. We will be hosting more hot topic discussions. And if they went half as well as this one went, I think we'll all be happy with that result. So thank you, everybody, for coming. I think that wraps it up from here. Fred, was there anything else that I missed that I should have highlighted?
No, I think we're good. Thanks, everyone. Really appreciate your time.
Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you for having
us. Thanks so much, everyone. Bye.
Thanks, everyone. I'm
there's this principle in like Taoism where it's like the more you fight something, the more like the opposite of what you want, like just inevitably it kind of starts to happen. There's this principle in like Taoism where it's like the more you fight something, the more like the opposite of what you want, inevitably it kind of starts to happen.
Chirping on the bird app, listening to nerds flap, wondering why the fuck my timeline's so cursed. It's like everybody's holding heavy bags in Web 3. That's why they can't fly, they just drowning in the bird bath, fishing for some dry powder. Watch how we ignite the tower, blowing up their bank accounts, forgetting how to fight the power. Y'all don't even realize how deep this shit goes. They preach an open source, but don't listen to the code, and now it's mutiny, community, uprise. There's no more humility, futility, plus size. Motherfuckers leaking from the wrench down to the bare metal. Which side of the line you beating out on when the dust settles? Motherfucking west side shit, needle and noose. Sticking with my armory, Yambato and Bruce. Repping psychedelic artistry, believing the truth. Like these motherfuckers even need a reason to sue? GM fam.
Is it really worth all the effort? Is it really worth all the fighting? Really worth all the drama? And the answer, I think, is a clear no.
We started using Zoom, now we finna zoom out. Teaching all these plebidites what this game's really all about. Little baby bitches when they choose to have fits. All you're left with is kibble when you lose all them bits. And that kibble's just sawdust, the shit is all rust. Not a great look, you're what we call all nuts. And I for one did not see that coming. Cracking open books, yo, that's a lot of money. Meanwhile, over here rewiring features. More critical thinking, less knee-jerk. More evolution, less shit. Coin preachers pretending to be teachers. Y'all just predatory leeches. I mean, please, just look at the track record. A bunch of VC rat fucks sucking up the cheddar. The recipe is two steps, rinse and repeat. Now we all in your butts and we bring in receipts. GM fam, have a seat.
If you're listening to this, my plea to you would be like, don't have to take a side on it. Just say like, is it really worth this war of attrition? It might cost us a lot more than what can be gained by like fighting this to the bitter end. And sometimes it's better to just like move on.
Terror spaces.